Happy Friday, everyone. We'll call this Rules Committee meeting to order and note for the record that there is a quorum present. First order of business is approval of the minutes from Thursday, April 25th. Vice Chair Hollins, would you please move the minutes?
Yes, so moved, Chair Long.
Any discussion to the minutes? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion prevails. Next, we have one deadline waiver for today. Pursuant to Joint Rule 2.03, there is a bill before the committee for waiver after missing deadline. Its purpose before us is to waive the deadlines for further action and to recommend a re-referral for a substantive hearing. We will not be accepting amendments or public testimony at this time. The bill is House File 5363. We had the motion yesterday, but the bill was put on the agenda late, and so there was a request from the minority to postpone, and so we are taking that up today. As a reminder, House File 5363 makes updates to the Minnesota Paid Leave Program, which required significant engagement with DDLI and stakeholders prior to its introduction. And so I will move that the deadlines be waived for further action on House File 5363, and that House File 5363 be re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law. Discussion. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it's going to Judiciary. What's the path after that?
Commerce, and then Ways and Means.
Okay. And do we
Representative
know... Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you, Mr. Chair. My brain is a little foggy today because we've had so much fumes from the diesel exhaust from construction. I'm having a hard time, legitimately having a hard time with my cognition today. So is there a fiscal note? Do we know?
There is no fiscal impact to the general fund. It follows the recommendations of the actuarial analysis.
Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Robbins.
So, Mr. Chair, if it's following the recommendations of the actual aerial analysis, is it including a tax increase or permission? I know the deed commissioner already has permission. Will there be a tax increase based on this language?
The premium cap that is currently in law will remain. Representative Robbins.
So last year's bill, the tax was going to be 0.7. Will this increase that tax?
No, it does not change the premium cap that's in law. Further, Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what will, when this takes effect, what will the tax be?
So Representative Robbins, that I think is beyond the scope of the discussion for the purposes of waiving the motion. I think that'd be a better discussion for substantive hearing on the bill.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chair, but I'm just trying to ascertain if this should be sent to taxes.
I do not believe there is any new tax language in the bill. I don't know. My understanding is that the premium cap is not changed, and so there is not a need for a stop in taxes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Seeing no further discussion, I renew my motion and that the deadlines be waived for further action on House File 5363 and that it be re-referred to the Committee on Judiciary, Finance, and Civil Law. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
The motion prevails. Next, we have the calendar for the day for Tuesday, April 30th. We're proposing four bills, House File 4124, the Legacy Supplemental Budget Bill, House File 5237, the K-12 Education Supplemental Budget Bill, House File 2476, Children and Family Supplemental Budget Bill, and House File 5242, the Transportation, Labor, and Housing Supplemental Budget Bill. I move the adoption of the calendar for the day pursuant to Rules 1.21 and 3.33. The Committee on Rules and Legislative Administration will designate Tuesday, April 30th for the adoption of the calendar for the day and establish a pre-filing requirement for amendments offered to those bills. Discussion to the calendar for the day. Representative Rarick.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So we have an issue with House File 5242, specifically the labor components. And the Ways and Means Chair and I had a conversation offline before this, and so there was a fiscal note that just came in regarding the University of Minnesota and creating bargaining units for those that are not already represented, which would be a huge fiscal cost, and I know that she wanted to speak to that. Short of some changes to that bill, I would actually, I was going to make a motion to take this off the calendar because it did not go to higher ed. So those are provisions that affect the University of Minnesota system tremendously, and it didn't go to higher ed, and it did not go to state government finance. It did in the Senate. It did not in the House. So I'm just going to raise that, and I know that she has some comments.
Chair Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And yes, Representative Rarick and I did talk. When the bill was heard yesterday, Representative Rarick raised the point that there was not a completed fiscal note, and that fiscal note did get completed last night and did show a fairly large cost in terms of what would be reasonable to think it could move forward and either be absorbed. We've talked about this before. Fiscal notes are advisory, and we don't have to appropriate based on them. So I want to be clear about that and clear up any misconfusion about that. Also, if an agency decides to absorb it, we've seen fiscal notes where an agency has absorbed it or has told us they would absorb it. That also can mean a bill can move forward. This does not fall into any of those categories. And so for that reason, we are making decisions on our side about how to proceed with that. But and it, I am very aware of it. And as the Ways and Means Chair, we'll make sure that the bill that as we proceed, that we are addressing this new fiscal note.
And I understand that the fiscal note came after the bill had moved through Ways and Means, despite the deadline for the fiscal note being in March. Representative Rick. Any further?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm sure that it was an incredibly complex fiscal note. I'm not defending the University of Minnesota, but what we were asking them to do was incredibly complex, and you're talking about thousands, probably tens of thousands of folks that were could be unionized, and so the impact of that and all the implications are massive, and so this is not a small change. Again, that's why I raised concerns in Ways and Means, because it didn't go to the higher ed committee at all. We had no conversation. We didn't get to hear from you and how this would impact them. I know that the Senate had a very long, contentious hearing. I happened to walk in to that hearing, got to hear firsthand both sides of that. And so it was concerning to me that, again, we are skipping committees here in the House. It didn't go to higher ed. It didn't go to state government finance. Again, it did in the Senate. And so I would oppose this unless we're going to be taking this out on the floor. This provision is massive. It's expansive. It's expensive. It should have been properly vetted in the proper committees, and none of those things happened, Mr. Chair. So if we have assurances that there will be a removal of this section, if we do it on the floor, that's not ideal, but at least it's getting done. But if we have those assurances, I will not make the motion to remove this from the calendar for the day. But short of that, I would make that motion.
Yep, I think you have those assurances from Chair Olson. Thank you, Representative Rick. Further discussion? Seeing none, I renew my motion to adopt the calendar for the day for Tuesday, April 30th. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The calendar for the day is adopted. So, members, we had a discussion yesterday about the situation with a generator being close to the intake, and I had assured members I would follow up with the Department of Administration yesterday. I did do that. They are taking the concern seriously. Right now they are looking at, they have ordered charcoal filters to place on the bottom windows. They're also looking at barriers to place around the intake so that they can't put equipment in those zones on the north side of the building. And they have air quality monitoring equipment that is in the basement that they are continuing to use and monitor. So they've assured me that they are working to make sure this doesn't happen in the future.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate that you're diligent in looking into this. Certainly, it really affects a lot of people on our side. I'm sure your side, too. So we're grateful for that. But this goes back to the larger question I've been trying to raise since November, which is that we have not had a public hearing about this. And I appreciate the meeting we had the other day. That was very helpful. But I feel like there's been some work stoppage around the archaeological issues that is delaying the project. Now there's this situation with the air intake valves. And I don't understand. Apparently the Rules Committee has the responsibility for this project, but yet we're never discussing these issues as a committee. Perhaps the speaker is making the decisions. I know the Department of Administration is involved, but they don't really have statutory authority. So who is, where are these decisions happening? If there is a change order that requires additional expenditure, who is signing off on that? Those are the questions that I think we, as a committee, if we have this responsibility, we should be addressing those concerns.
So Representative Robbins, as we've discussed, the Rules Committee is not the project manager, the Department of Administration is, and so they are the ones that are making decisions for the project, which is why I went to them in this particular instance. Representative Robbins.
Thank you. And I did ask for where the Department of Administration has that authority to be the project manager, and I'm still waiting on that particular information. So if you could provide that, that would be helpful, because I do not see where we have affirmatively given them the project management authority. And I think if the authority still rests with us as the tenant and as the Rules Committee, then we should be involved in these decisions. Thank you.
Representative Baird.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to follow up on that conversation because we have dozens and dozens of members and staff, including pregnant women, that are sick from the fumes today. They have, very similar to what your vice chair has described as symptoms. Brain fog, I have terrible brain fog today because of we spent a lot of hours in 200, which is on the second floor, which is kind of the epicenter for some reason. But there are people that have had O2 stats, so they have O2 monitors on their watches and they have gone off and alerted them that their O2 stats are dropping. We have people that have had serious lung issues and not just sore throats, but migraines and brain fog. And we are being asphyxiated and the fumes are still there today. And maybe you can't smell the diesel fumes, but I'm sure if we had monitoring on the second floor and third floor and wherever else it happens to be of the air quality, that would at least give them some assurances. Because honestly, by the time you smell the diesel fumes, it's too late. You've already been, you've already suffered the damage from it. We have people that have been sick for 2 weeks straight from this exhaust that has come in repeatedly. And when I have talked to those that are in charge of trying to maintain our safety, they said, well, this is going to be an ongoing issue. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable that we have to maintain residency there and work there while the construction's going on. And they literally built a road on the north side right under our windows. And so there are dump trucks coming and going. I watched three of them as I walked over here coming and going. So all their diesel exhaust is going straight into the building. So, we've got excavators and skidsters and all kinds of things happening all day long. And, this has become mission critical, so to speak. We're going to have lawsuits come if we don't take care of the health and safety of our members and our staff and the public. And we had the public for 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, whatever it was, in Ways and Means. We're putting people's lives at risk. And I, I'm glad that there's at least some movement, but this has been an ongoing issue. So because the staff is so upset and so sick, I'm going to let you know, I called Min OSHA today to try to get some sort of resolution to this, whether it has to be a work stoppage or an evacuation or just vacate the building because it's incompatible. And I don't know that those remedies are going to fix. How long does it take to get a carbon filter in? I don't know. But we have immediate issues and immediate concerns and people that are very sick. And I don't even know what's happening with our staff that are pregnant. That just makes me cringe to think about what they're being subjected to. So I implore you to please either do a work stoppage until these filters and all the other mitigation is in place. Your vice chair is sick too, so I am also sick. I'm not saying she's sick from that. It could be anything. I'm just saying the symptoms are very similar to everybody else that's on my floor that I've talked to. So, and on the third floor. So this is very serious, and I really hope that we can either stop the construction until we can get these mitigation factors up or vacate the building. And I don't know where we're going to go, if everyone's going to have to work from home or what, but the two are not compatible, Mr. Chair.
Well, Representative Eric, I assure you I am taking it seriously. I believe the Department of Administration is too, based on my conversation with them yesterday. And they are monitoring the air quality, as I mentioned, for health and safety of the residents. and working to make sure this is not happening going forward. So I will continue to follow up with them and happy to continue to follow up with you if there are any further incidents. But as far as I know, there have been two, and we're trying to prevent that from happening in the future. Representative Rare.
Mr. Chair, so again, I would ask that if you're monitoring air quality on the floors that we reside in, that would be very important. So the second and third floors have been exceptionally impacted by this. You said it was in the basement that they're doing the air quality, which I'm sure that's probably where the fresh air goes down to. That's great, but it's coming in through the windows. It's coming in other places too, not just the fresh air intakes. Like I said, this has really, really become absolutely horrible for so many people that have no other options because we are in the throes of session. It is it's long hours, as you know. It's difficult for everybody, especially our staff. So I hope that we treat them with the respect and dignity and care that we absolutely should. So that would be my ask, if you would please put monitors on the second and third floors as well, because it's coming in from all directions. And I hope that we, you know, our human resources folks are mindful of this and encouraging people to work from home if it's incompatible, or if we're just going to do a work stoppage until we get filters and other things in place.
Thank you, Representative Rarick. Members, that's our business before us, and so hope everyone has a good weekend. We are adjourned.